temperature 61. It's still Mismar Hess. Okay, it's 61 in the Malbum, where it says Omnam.
Yeah.
Okay, and that paragraph. Okay, a little very interesting now. Omnam. Adas Hamaminim Hashleimim, the assembly of the Maminim Hashleimim, the people that are complete in their emunah, imatzas haTorah uDuracheihem, with the counsel of the Torah in its ways, lo yuchu lahachish zois, cannot deny the fact that Hashem is going back on the previous paragraph. You cannot deny the existence of God, Hashem created this world. It is undeniable. Ki edus Hashem nemona shakachavim kulamayin nivru ba'avur haaretz. The kachavim. Okay, he's going into some depth of the Ayah. If you notice, the Malam on this parak is massively long. It's very eloquent. His language, for me, my little mind is a bit complex, and he has discussed a lot of different elements of science, different ideas of science. And here he says that the kochavim were created for the earth. Kulamoy, every single star nivru ba'avur ha'aretz, for this world. Ask a scientist today: would they agree with that statement? That every single star out there that in this galaxy was created for one thing only, for this earth.
What do the stars do for this earth?
Gravity.
Exactly. Right.
Gravity. Gravitational pull. That's the every single star has a pull, and it contributes to the earth's rotation around the sun, at least on a scientific level. Now that's very problematic. From the standpoint of Chazal, because Chazal, whether they knew that the earth goes around the sun or not, that's another issue. But Gzuntait, but the from Chazal, it's mashma that when they look at this world, put aside science, the earth is the center, and the sun in the morning is rotating from the east to the west. So then, what benefit is there to the stars? I mean, we today understand that the sun is the center, and everything is rotating around the sun, and the fact that every single star has a magnetic gravitational pull, which contributes to the Earth's movement and its orbit, a perfect orbit, that's not perfect, this is an ellipse around the sun. And that's why every year it's not the same. The Earth's rotation around the sun takes, these are the microscopic differences, every year is not the way it went last year. The ellipse, as it circles the sun every year, is slightly different because it's all relative to where are the planets. The other planets are also rotating around the sun, and each planet has a massive gravitational pull, and it affects every year. It's different every year where all of the planets are relative to where the Earth is. It has a different gravitational pull on the Earth. So the ellipse around the sun is not the same every year. Every year when we go around the sun, we're going around the sun slightly different. It's not an exact repetition. Today is solstice. The solstice was today?
Yesterday.
So that means it would be they meant exactly the same.
The shortest day of the year.
The shortest day of the year was yesterday. Okay, so that. Okay, we'll talk about Nittel. Later on, we'll talk about Nittel. These ideas a little bit later. But it's interesting is that we have a derech. The earth has a derech. And it's interesting that the derech that the earth takes every year is not the same as it took last year. To the naked eye, it looks the same. But scientists know that there are microscopic differences in the earth's path around the sun because of the gravitational pull that the other heavenly bodies are applying to this earth. Where are all the other planets? It's never the same. There's a continuous change. Every planet goes around the sun at a different speed. And when the Earth travels at every single point, the way where are all the other planets relative to where the Earth is, it's not the same. And the stars, I mean, I don't know exactly how
they're thinking about it. It's amazing that we could keep such a stable orbit considering all the intervals. If you had a program, it would be impossible.
Exactly, and that's part of, that's exactly what the Malam writes about. that the Nifloyis HaBari, how like the precision is beyond belief.
Yes.
It's beyond belief, and for people to come and deny.
I wouldn't say beyond belief. I think he's encouraging belief here.
He's carving. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Dvaro.
He gets into this after the flood, describing it.
How did Hashem make the flood? How did Hashem make the flood? Hashem by taking away two stars. I tell this, in the Gemara, there are two different opinions how to calculate, how to make the calculations. There's Shmuel and Mar Ukva. Shmuel, this rabbi, Dr. Leon Ehrenpreis, Zechet Tzadik Levrach, he told Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was a mathematician, he was a mathematician first in YU. He gave up a very good career to go to the Tzadik. He gave up a very, he was teaching somewhere.
In Philadelphia?
No, that was later, that's when he lost his job, YU. YU had a set. Fantastic math department, and they shut it down. Rabbi Dr. Malim shut it down in desperation because Yeshiva was literally going out of business. And in desperation, he shut down the math department. And he, Dr. Leon Ehrenpreis, he had a very, very choshev position in one of the Ivy League colleges. Maybe it was in Yale. I don't know. Somewhere very, very choshev.
What is Philadelphia?
Yale's in Connecticut.
Not so that's where he was later. That's where he went later on. That's where he went. And he was offered a job in YU, and he said, he said that he felt that why should he waste his time teaching Goyim?
Right.
Goyim, why should he go and spend a whole life teaching where he can go and he can teach Acheinu B'nei Yisrael?
Right.
In Yeshiva University, in the graduate department, they had a very good graduate department, he told me. And then Yeshiva in the early 80s, I mean, before that, Yeshiva University was going through a very, very difficult time. And they were really bleeding out. And they had to shut down some schools. And they shut down a very difficult, painful decision to shut it down, and he lost his job. And they were not going to take him back where he came from. So he had, the rest of his life, he had to go travel to Philadelphia in, which college was in Philadelphia?
Temple.
Was it Temple? That's
Temple
what it was.
Temple.
So he went every day, but he went there on Amtrak. Amtrak every day, and the shtel that he had was not nearly as chosher as what he had before, and he was very hurt. He was very hurt that what happened to YU.
Moshe gave them wrote a letter because my son was a math person. So he wrote a letter to tell them how bad the math department was after he graduated, so they offered him a position.
Who, Moshe?
Yeah. They offered him a job.
What a way to get a job.
And he told them to come and straighten it out.
Wow, what a way to get a job.
He said, thank you, but I make a good living.
Yeah,
but
that was Moshe talking about the undergrad.
Yeah.
But they had a graduate school.
Revel. It was called Revel.
Not Revel.
Yeah, and they shut it. It was whatever.
It went from Revel to Revel.
Not Furkov.
It was a
another name.
All right. Any event. So he used to come every night to my and he used to tell me chidushim. And one of the chidushim he told me, this is very, very fascinating, is that there's a machlek. This is a lot of this came up during the time of. Birchas Hachamah. Birchas Hachamah, all the Torah. So there's a lot of math. Some people love this stuff, some people can't even hear one word about this. And Birchas Hachamah, to understand what exactly is Birchas Hachamah every 28 years, Misper the Machzer Gadol, the Machzer Katan, and all the calculations. And the Gemara presents basically two calculations. There's a calculation of Shmuel and the calculation of Mar Okva. And what it all boils down to is my calculation of Shmuel is a watered down, an extremely inaccurate, watered down calculation of how everything works for the masses. The common man can't add numbers very well. So they can't deal with fractions and do calculus and advanced mathematics. The common man cannot deal with this. And therefore, Shmuel provided a very, very watered down version of how all the calculations of how all the heavenly bodies work. Mar Ukva gave a very, very complex, detailed, accurate mathematical calculation, which for the time, to compare to what we have science today, I think a lot of the modern science is shocked at how accurate Mar Okva was, not having access to the technology of what is available today, and how in the world he could have come up with his calculations with such accuracy is really something, a big mystery. But Mar Okva has a very, very detailed calculation. Okay, so that's all a lot of it. So he told me as follows. He says to me, this is what they say in the big book. You read all the books, and this is what you're going to do. So he summarized it for me in something which I don't think anyone ever says it. This is very simple. He says, Shmuel's calculation, it's watered down for the masses. It's not just watered down for the masses on a very simple, to be accurate. Shmuel is working with a model where the earth circles the sun in a orbits the sun in a perfect circle. Mar Okva's calculation is based on the premise that the earth orbits the sun in an ellipse.
Not really an ellipse.
Whatever it is, but in a non-perfect, circle. So why would Shmuel do something that's inaccurate? So he says Shmuel is gone. This is what he claimed. And he told the Rav Moshe, the Gemara is very clear. The Gemara says that would do. How did Hashem bring about the Mabul? Hashem, he took two stars. He removed their, the Gemara says in detail, Kima, I don't remember the Gemara. He took two stars out of the sky. He took them out. There were two stars.
Well,
He removed them. So he explained to me, we now today in science understand how every single star, every single thing in heaven has a gravitational pull, which contributes to the orbit of the sun around the sun, the earth around the sun. Hashem made a world, just mind-boggling what he says, and a lot of how so many things fit together. I mean, this is a thesis, you know, I'm not one of those scientists here. I can't even add one on one together, but this is what he told me. Hashem created a world with such precision, and every single star that we can see, the naked eye can see, contributes to producing a result where the earth orbits the sun in a perfect circle. And when there's a perfect circle, it has a major, when the earth would orbit the sun, if it would in a perfect circle, there would be no global warming, there would be no violent weather, the earth, people would live longer, the seasons, it would be, the whole environment would be different. The climate would be completely different. Man sinned. Man became corrupt, and Hashem said, you don't deserve such a good world where everything is operating optimally. And Hashem says, we're going to shake things up here. Hashem took out
after the flood, right?
Hashem, the way Hashem made the flood was he took out two stars, which basically, what he's saying is, changed the orbit of the earth around the sun from a perfect circle to an ellipse. And that initial shakeup was such a violent shakeup, it brought the flood. And then when things subsided, calmed down, we have a new world that's just a skeleton compared to the beauty and how perfect the world was before the model. Why? Because it all comes with the problem that the earth does not orbit the sun in a perfect circle. If we, through technology, can go put some boosters,
That's a dirty word. Now.
Okay, it's not a good word. I apologize for that, okay? I don't want anyone's sensitivities here. But if we can somehow get the Earth to go around the sun in a perfect circle, it would be a whole different world.
But also it's tilted. It wasn't.
Well, that was it.
He didn't tell me anything about tilt. He didn't tell anything about that. I don't know anything about that.
No, but the model makes a point of saying that before the model, that the earth, you know, wasn't on its axis. That was an after effect of the flood.
That it tilted?
It started to go on its axis.
Okay, he did. But that's an amazing.
That's why was the population of the earth was around the Middle East. So there was, in that area. So it was okay. There were no seasons that way, and that was it. But after the flood, so 23.25 degrees or something like that.
That was a result of the Mabul, could be. Okay, I don't know.
That's what it is.
But he only focused on this idea, and at that time he revealed to me this. I never understood these concepts. Is that the Earth is in motion. It's in orbit. And how, why is it in orbit? How does all this work? It all has to do with gravity. Gravity is the most powerful force in this world. And the truth is that that's what the neshama.
Actually, they call the gravity a very weak force, because if gravity was a strong force, you wouldn't be able to lift your foot off the ground.
It's just right. But you take something, you know, you let go. That is gravity.
Gravity is the weakest force.
Okay, but it's there. There's something called gravity. Yeah. Gravity, and you need it's optimal. Mm-hmm. The amount of gravity is just right. And we all know that the neshama gravitates up. The neshama gravitates up, and the guf gravitates down. And these two things are you know, fused. Moshe Rabbeinu, his koyach of his neshama allowed him to gravitate to Shemayim, taking his body with him. And the average person who gets caught up in this world, he takes his neshama and pulls it down into the earth. Okay, gravity, there's gravity going up, gravity going down. In the spiritual world, the gravity pulls you up. In the gashmi, the gravity pulls you down. The earth operates through the principle of gravity. Every single planet and every single star, in ways that we don't necessarily can measure, also have a gravitational pull upon the earth to arrange that it should orbit in a very precise way. And being that the world is a little bit out of whack, it's every single year, it's not the same. It's not the same. The path that the earth takes around the sun every single year is slightly different than what it was last year, the year before, and the year before. How did all this trickle down into our daily lives? I have no idea. But it's certainly a mashal for our purpose in this world. Just because we go through cycles every single year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Chanukah, it's not the same. The path that we take through the year, the Moadim, is not the same that it was last year. Just like in the world, where all of the planets are arranged and all the stars are arranged and how they affect this earth is different. Likewise, in our spiritual battle, it's also a different path. There's a mashal. Now let's go see over here back to the Ma'am. The council of the believers, the Shleimim, together with a life living the Atzas HaTorah, U'dirachecha, lo yuchum l'hashkos, you cannot deny the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Ki Eidus Hashem Nemona, Shachachavim Kulama Nivru B'Avu Haaretz, Kamo Shekasov, it says, Vayitin El Shem Elokim Berkia HaShemayim in the heavens, L'ho'ir Al Haaretz. Okay, that's what it says about the sun and the moon. What about the stars? V'Tzetzo'ei Haaretz. Okay, now, by the way, you cannot deny the fact that Rashi, Chazal, say that the reason why this what the Malbim says is a bit of a contradiction to what it says in Chazal. Chazal say the only reason why the stars came into existence was not for the earth, it was for the moon. It was to be Mephayes, the moon. Because originally, there was Shnei HaMoris, it's Mamash HaFeresh HaGemara. There was Shnei HaMoris HaGedolim, there was the sun and the moon, they were equal. What that means is something that is very, very difficult to understand, but the sugi in and itself, what does it mean the sun and the moon were equal, whatever that means, and the moon complained, Ein shnei melachim mishamshim bekeser echot. So Hashem said to the moon, L'chi u'ma'ati es atzmech, diminish yourself. The sun was insulted, and the moon was insulted. Hashem, just because I said something that is proper, I have to suffer. It's not fair. Ze lo fair. This is not correct. I have to be diminished. So Hashem said, I think one of the first, Hashem wanted to be, he says, you're right. I did an avlat, whatever this means. Hashem attempted to be mefayes the moon. How? By creating the stars. The creation of the stars, according to Chazal, was for one purpose only. In order to appease the Levana. The Levana, because it was diminished, that means the stars are there in heaven primarily for one purpose. To give Nechama to the moon. That's what it says. That's the only reason we have stars, according to Chazal. And then the moon says, Hashem, very nice, but I'm still upset. So Hashem said, Hashem says to him that the end was the Jewish Klal Yisrael will calculate the Moadim, Beit, there'll be a lunar calendar for the Jewish people, a lunar solar calendar. It was not. The Levana was not satisfied. After everything was said and done, I've got all the different steps, and I should know that's the case. I have to bring a carbon. I have to bring, Hashem says, I can't even face you. I need this something which all the editing on the side of the Gemara itself says, don't you dare think you know what this means. This can lead to terrible apikorsis. Hashem says, I have to bring a carbon for myself. For sitting against the moon, that's what we say. Carbon la Hashem, Roshe Chodashim la Amcha Nosota, Zman Kapara l'chol toldosam. It's a Zman Kapara for who? It says in Chazal that the carbon chatos that we bring, it's a chatos la Hashem. It says in the Pasuk. It's a chatos for Hashem. Again, this borders, if you don't know, this is dangerous as it gets to go
to
understand what this means. But that was the last step. The first step was Hashem created the stars, not for us. The stars are there to give pius to the Levana. Now here that's one Maimer Chazal. Don't ever get carried away by one Maimer Chazal in Divrei Agoda. I guess company. Misery, what's the expression?
Misery loves
company. That's what it means.
No, because the moon is diminished.
So it's all along.
The stars are even more diminished.
I don't know what it means. I guess maybe that's what it means. It means since I'm the moon, relative to during at night you don't see the sun. The sun is not present, so I'm diminished relative to all these billions and trillions of stars. Look how big I am.
Right.
I don't know. You can say whatever you want to say. I don't know. I don't know what it means. I'm not gonna make believe what it means. But whatever it means, these words are in Chazal that Hashem attempted to pacify the Levana by creating the stars. The stars are not for us. The stars are for the Levana. Now, the Malbim here says that anyone that has a brain in their head knows that the stars are for the earth. So my comment is, don't ever get worked up over one Maimer Chazal in Divrei Agoda. There are many, many bodies of, many works of Agoda, and more often than not, one Maimer Chazal in Agoda contradicts a head-on contradiction to another, and each Chazal is there to bring out a point, but it's not to be taken literally. This is all and nothing else. It's just one element. Now, by the way, that one element totally changes everything you take. If you do dwell upon that one element, it gives whole new meaning to the story of Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu was complaining to Hashem, he was sad. He was sad. Hashem matitain li v'yonoichi holei chariri uven mesek beisi hu da mesek eliezer
meshek
beisi hu da mesek eliezer. What do I have from all this, Hashem? What's all this worth? I'm going to die childless. What do I have? Vayoytze Hashem hachutza habedna Hashemayim usefor hakoychavim. Why is Hashem coming to show Moshe Rabbeinu the stars? Ko yezarach. Why the stars? Why not the sand, the earth? Why not the Malachi HaShareh is there? Infinite number of Malachi. Why? Obviously, stars capture the pious pacification. Avraham is sad. Hashem, it's not fair. Why can't I have children? Everyone else in the world has children. Every truck driver has children. Not anything's only the truck driver, but every yokel. Every yokel has a child. I can have a child. Why me? I'm your servant. Why me? Hashem says, you know, you're right. You have a good complaint against me. You're not the first one that has a complaint against me. The Levana is the first body, the first being in this world that had a complaint. Okay, people love to complain. It's mosuk midrash, the complaint. I don't know why they don't have a box in every shul. Put your in that complaint box.
Right,
you read that, you lose your mind. Right?
Absolutely correct.
What?
It's a garbage can.
The garbage can?
It's overflowing.
Okay, you have a complaint box.
A circular file.
A complaint box. And the first one to complain was the moon. You know, there's something in the first. The first says a lot, the moon. And how did Hashem pacify the moon? With the Koichavim. Hashem over here is saying, Avram, you're complaining to me that you don't have any children? Look at the stars. You're just like the moon. The moon also complained. I pacified the complaint of the Levana by creating for its stars. Now, when you figure out what that means, not for now, when you figure what that means, then we'll be able to have an appreciation of the same thing. You have a complaint, the stars is your model. The same way the stars pacified the Levana, the stars that were created for pacification will pacify you. Okay, this is a little off topic, but the stars represent. Obviously, here in the Malbum is not going down that path. The Malbum says the stars are created for this earth. Let's go further. Okay, I'm over here in the Malbum on page 61 in the Malbum in paragraph Omnam. Omnam. I am five lines, or six lines, one, two, three, four, five lines down in after the beginning of the paragraph that begins with the word Omnam. Vitzat Soe Haaretz Kulam Nivru, and the hosts of the earth Kulam Nivru, Ach Bavur Ha'adam, Shenivra Acharoin L'chulam. Okay, this is the godless Ha'adam. Every single thing in this world is created for man. Ki bo v'al yodo, in him and through him, he seek hamitzius kuloi, es hashlemus, the world of reality achieves perfection. The es tachlisoi ha'acharoi, not just perfection, it's purpose. Perfection, two different words. There is shlemus and there is tachlis. This in itself is a whole topic. What's this all about? This whole world about is all about two things. The goal to achieve shlemus, and a goal to achieve purpose. And they're not the same. Purpose and shleimus is not the same. They're two different things, two different paths, which coincide, but have different dimensions. Asher loy uva'avuroi ro'asa ha'chochmo ha'elyoyno, and on his behalf, ro'asa ha'chochmo ha'elyoyno lo'hoitzi el hayesh. It was necessary that Hashem should reveal to bring it into the world of reality. Okay, there's a lot of poetry and there's a lot of poetic expressions in the Malbim on Sefer Tehillim, a lot more than we're used to from the other Sefarim. And we'd have to just move on. Just read quickly, because I don't think this was meant to be read like a Rishon to go and Mutzuzach on every single word. This is just a lot of expressions. Umina Adam Kuloi Hoya Ach Bavur Hasholem, and from man, Hoya Ach Bavur Hasholem Asher Yishmor Mitzvois Hashem Ufikudov. Not every man is important, the Malbim says. Everything comes to the stars were created for the earth. The earth was created for man. And man was created for a very specific man. Not every man was this world created for. You need a lot of men in order to produce one man that stands head and shoulders above everyone else. V'loy zoyis levad ela ki teva hametzias b'chloloi mishubot el adam halos. He's saying deep ideas that nature is subordinate, is under the authority of man. Yale or yered, nature will ascend or descend. Yishtaleim or yufchas, beautiful expressions. Nature will either become complete or become deficient. O yispatel legamri, or completely disappear, lefi maaseh adam, according to man's actions, b'shamroi, in his guarding of mitzvahs Hashem, oy b'miryo, or rebelling against Hashem. What we just heard over here is a very beautiful expression, which is completely denied by the Chachmei, the Umay Sa'olam. The Chachmei Umay Sa'olam view Mother Nature as king. And we have to humble ourselves before Mother Nature. That's the whole globalization and everything over here is this global warming and there's this and there's this, and man can't do anything about it. And man has to just hide and humble himself to the higher authority of nature. Nature, the way, whatever we see, any trend we see in this world, if we see in this world the trends of weather patterns or of illness, man has to mevatel himself. That's the way the world operates. I don't think I'm saying anything wrong over here. We do the same thing because we're in a very bad situation. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash, we don't have a Shechina amongst us. But he's talking about the ideal. The ideal is man is in charge. Nature is subordinate to man. If man elevates himself to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, automatically the world gets with the program. And if man wants to be cruel and evil and mean, then the world will go down the drain. Today, amongst the Goyim, this concept is just is like doesn't exist. Man is a nothing. Man is a cockroach. Mother Nature. There's a world. Yeah. It's like we're fortunate to be here. Wow, we're in this world over here. But whatever we see happening in the world, we have to adapt. We have to limit ourselves. We have to behave in order to, because the world is a more powerful force than anything a human being can do.
Interesting.
And the Malibu says he got it all wrong. He got it totally wrong. Man is the boss, but he has to be the boss in the spiritual world. Unfortunately, today there's not too much spirituality. I mean, whatever, it's not like what it should be. But anyway, we're near where it should be. And man is the boss. Don't worry about the world. Don't be so concerned about global warming, about this. Man, you do yours. You recognize there is a creator. You do observe the mitzvahs, and everything else in this world will fall into place. You are the boss, not the world, not Mother Nature. The Kotev Zeh, this, what's a good word for Kotev? This principle, who Yisoid HaTorah Bichlala. This is the fundamentals. This is the foundation of what the Torah is built upon. Man is in the driver's seat. V'soid ha-sochar v'ha-inish, and the principle of reward, punishment, ha-brachos, blessings, v'ha-klalois, ha-nimsa b'Torah, ad shehunach etzel ha-Torah, li-isod musod, I don't know what these words mean over here, what he means by this, ki ha-sholem shebi adam, hu levado v'lo zuloso, chelik ha-shem bi-olamoy, that Hashem's desire, Hashem's portion in this world is not global warming. Hashem's goal in this world is man. Man should achieve spiritual achievements. That's what Hashem wants. Hashem is not interested that we all go green. Hashem is interested that we all are Yirei Shemayim. And if we're Yirei Shemayim, then Meila, everything else happens to fall into place. The Hera Zos B'Poal Eis Chosaf Zeroya Kotshoi, Hashem revealed this. Hashem revealed the laws of nature are in his hand. When Hashem exposed, he withdrew, he exposed the might of his arm, Yitzias Mitzrayim.
During, that's the phrase in Masur.
Oh, Chos, Zeracha, reveal your arm, your holy arm, be'oisois of Mofsim, be made say, Salem, be Eretz Mitzrayim, be Ace Yerad al Har Sinai. When Hashem came down Har Sinai, the Ace Ohel Shikain Ba'adam B'Midrash V'Mishkan, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he dwelt his divine presence in the Mikdash in the Mishkan, Ki Ilu Ach Po Ivo L'Moshe V'Lo. This is the only place where Hashem wants to rest his divine presence. The Ach Ha'aretz HaZos, the Am HaZeh, provided, there's one condition, one very simple condition. This earth and this nation, Shomer Mitzvayisav, he has Segula, we should be observant, Asher Ba'avuram Asa Kol Ma She'asa. The whole purpose is for Klal Yisrael to be Yirei Shemayim. Sha'al Kein Kiram B'chol Lashon Shel Chiba. Hashem refers to the Jewish people with expressions of love. Bein B'choiroi, the child of his firstborn child. Va'arusasoi, we're called his betrothed, his kala. Amo, we're his nation. Nachalasoi, his inheritance. All these beautiful words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wow, 5 words. 5 words of endearment he cites that Hashem refers to the Jewish people. A son, a bechor, an arusasai, his kala, amo, betrath, amo, his nation, v'nachalasai, his inheritance. Amnam, eich yitztak kol ze es yamdu lefonenu mofsei hafi lo sofim v'ta'anoi sehem. How do we stand a chance in this world against the philosophers? Okay, against all of the philosophers, all of the believers in ideas, people that thoroughly reject every single word that we have just said. The vast majority of the world does not believe in one word that we just said in the last 10 minutes. They don't believe this. How do we stand a chance? The Jewish people are only 15 million people up against a world of 7.5 billion people. 7.5 billion people versus 15 million people. What chance do we stand? Do we stand to survive? And they come with very powerful arguments. Very hard to disprove these things. Sometimes you have people, they argue with you, and you know they're wrong. Divrei Chazal said, Divrei emes nikarim. There's a sensitive person in their heart can detect Divrei emes. And you can have a person that can put on a show and can present you with smoke and with smoke and mirrors and make arguments. It's all nonsense. How do we stand a chance against them? Al zeh bo hanashoirer ba mizmor hazeh. That's the purpose of Mizmor Ches in Sefer Tilim. Is it Tilim or Tehillim? Okay, in Sefer Tilim, Dovra Melach comes to the rescue. He comes to the rescue and presents us with a weapon to fight. What's the weapon? The Orach Negdom. And Dovra Melach has arranged opposite them. Ma'arocha Filoi Soifis. David was a philosopher. And a PhD from Princeton in the philosophy of religion. That's what my cousin has. Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik. He has a PhD from Princeton in the philosophy of religion. And he presented us with a philosophical argument. Ubitel ta'anoi seim bidvarim. And he canceled their arguments. How? Not through censorship. David did not cancel anyone's Facebook account or Twitter account or Instagram account. David canceled them through argument. He presented sound arguments. He debated them. Okay, no censorship. Uvitel ta'anoi sehem. How? Bedvarim. Instead of silencing you, listen to what I have to say. And Nemela, whatever is MS, will prevail. What's all the censorship about? Let people speak freely. Ru'uyim el ho Eloki hazeh, that are fitting for this divine belief. Kasher nivarer teshuvaysav, as I will explain in utter detail, which we're not going to do here today. I'm sorry, but we're not going to go read all, because all this is very, very elaborate. It's way too much. Kasher nivarer teshuvaysav, b'ver ha-mizmar achas. One thing at a time. V'yan, ki ha-chakir ha-zos milvad, this chakir, this investigation, this intellectual investigation, milvad, besides shehi ikor v'soy b'toroseinu. You hear what he says over here? This is an incredible principle. I don't know if the Haredi schools really like what it says over here, is that this approach of philosophy, we're talking about philosophy, philosophical debate, to go to the depth, to delve deeply into, to argue all these arguments of philosophy, Mamish philosophy. He writes here words, if he would write this today in the 21st century, guarantee you, censored. This would not begin, no one would give a haskama on this book, on the album. But he writes here, this is shocking, Milvad, besides that, the study of philosophy is Shehi Ikor. It is a fundamental visoid and a foundation pillar, b'toraseinu, to delve deeply into the depth of reasoning, to understand the proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator, and the whole purpose of this world is for man not to be a slave to these ideologies of science. He gamken yisoid kol das b'chlal, in general, is the foundation of now he says the word dust means the law. What?
Of religion in general.
So he says you translate the word dust means religion. Okay, dust normally means law. Okay, over here in this context it means it with religion, fine. Ki ach bezelo yispale lanu ha hashkachah ho yishkoshiyis. We should not be not be threatened, or not be in. I also threatened by the hashgacha hapratis. His term, what he calls hashgacha, we call hashgacha pratis, divine providence on the smallest little detail. That's what it means. So ishis means the individual. The individual, every single thing in this world, every blade of grass, hadaveka b'min ha'adam. His term of hashgacha ho'ishiyis is basically what we call today hashgacha pratis. Ishis means over here, each little individual, hadaveka, that cleaves b'min ha'adam in humanity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware and penetrates every single dimension of our lives. The ein boze nake al kod kod, the ach, however, our ach boze, and therefore only with this should we be courageous to battle. Nake, we should hit al kod kod on the skull, on the head, ha machishim, ha oimrim ozav Hashem es oretz. Any apikoris that says there's no God, what?
The deniers.
Anyone that denies Hashem's existence, and he's over here, he's saying people who say that Hashem abandoned this world, and therefore we are now subject, we are slaves to Mother Nature. You should go and you should give them a frask, he said. Go give them a zetz, bang them on their head, and tell them you're out of your mind. L'chi al Hashemayim kvodo. Really? Hashem is not in this world. Hashem doesn't penetrate every iota of our existence. Is it really true that Hashem is in Shemayim? Asher zeho yotanas kol hagoyim. Because that's what the world is all about. Over the Hashem, okay. Only those goyim that worship the Shemesh, ha'oisim kavonim l'mulechas Hashemayim, that ascribe kavonim, I don't know what that means. What
in
kavonim?
Intent, you know, it's power.
Those who empower the heavenly bodies, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the idolaters, they all claim that there is no God in this world, and they worship those that this world is hefkeres, force of there. Today we don't have idolaters. We have a different type of idolaters. People who worship money, who worship COVID, who worship science, who worship global warming, who worship technology. Yeah, that's not the only new pagan. All these, the people who worship technology, people who worship global warming. It's a religion. Global warming is mamish, has become a religion. It's a religion. People who worship all these, people who worship money. There are many new idols that we have invented in our world today. And unfortunately, I could talk about myself, we're nichshol in some of these forms of idolatry, modern forms of idolatry. L'chein yis'ale hadrush hazeh, may this essay that I'm about to write, this homily I'm about to write, l'fi yoiker hanoisei, according to the value, the importance of the topic, hamedubar bo umaloso, its importance. Therefore, you're saying over here that what I'm about to write over here, the next thing over here is, pay close attention and cherish it and value it. There's a lot to discuss. I'm going to delve into the depths of philosophy and prove to you that the psukim over here. Okay, we're not doing this, but we're going to go a little further. But other thing we'll point out. But over here, what he's doing over here is he's saying, as we learned, what are these psukim over here say? Mo adir b'chol asher tunahoy kalashli mipi oilim v'yoinkim. Okay, we're dealing over here with reproduction. We're dealing with the process of birth, pregnancy, birth. Okay, we're dealing over here with looking at the heavens, the shamecha, your heavens, maaseyat v'yosecha, the yareach, the moon, the kochavim. Then we're looking about the lowliness of man, and yet even though man is so lowly, I've given him dominion over everything he put achas raglav. Dover over here is coming to. We're talking about tzoyin, alafim. This is a short mizmah, but David HaMelech, even just the first basic two things of talking about the creation of man, birth, pregnancy, leda, and looking at the Shemayim V'aretz, that alone, when you analyze, you can see the Yad Hashem is present. And he goes on to elaborate some of the things that he talks about. I tried to go through as best as I can. You know, I think he's writing about the science of his day. There are some illusions here where he writes about science and talks, and it could very well be that he drew from the science of his day, which some of those things are out there. Obviously, every single day they rewrite the science books, but even in every generation with what you have, I mean, the chokhmah is infinite, and certainly the on our generation where the chokhmah of science has reached new levels of incredible things, what we know today, certainly alachas kan v'kama, how much more so do we have an obligation to be like the Malbim and to see from all of the incredible chokhmah and science today how the Yad Hashem is present everywhere. We're now, our generation is obviously in a very dangerous place because the chokhmah is so great, where now we have the ability to actually tamper with the science. Years ago, science is just, you're the spectator sport. You can study all the science you want, you can't affect it, you can't change it. Today we can blow up this world in 5 minutes. We can blow up this world, you can alter someone's DNA, you can do the things that they're doing, the powerful little things that they do, these experiments they do. It's just scary what you can do today. What you can do today with science today, where we can manage tamper with the act. It's no longer a spectator sport. Science. We become manipulators of science. All right, that is the Malbim. Now I wrote down some things over here. Give me one moment to look at my notes. Okay. Now I want to share with you the Minchas Ariv. I find to be very, very interesting. Page 61, the Minchas Arev. He has some very nice things. The Minchas Arev, I found, they're very attached, shtickle to the Minchas Arev. Let me just show you a short little thing over here on page 61. On page 61. No, I'm not, I can't go, it's gone forever now. It's not, I want to go on to, I want, we don't have to move. We can't dwell too much upon it. The Minchas Arev, let's look at the, on Pasuk Beis. Okay, Pasuk Beis, just very short. Page 61, the Minchas, is it Minchas Erev or Erev, it's called? Minchas Erev or Arev? Erev probably, right? The Minchas Erev, I don't know why I said Arev. Sweet, Erev is the evening. The Mincha, the offering of the evening, the gift of the evening, the Minchas Erev. Hashem Adoneinu Moradi Hashem Chol Haaretz, Ki Afilu Uma Yisraelam, Oivdi Avodah Zarah, Magdilim Shemo Yisparach. He's quoting the Chazal. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says the Menachos. And I mean, just because I didn't mention this, even the Goyim recognize deep down that they know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Ki Godol Shmi Bagoyim V'yom Chazal Dukorulei Eloko De Eloko V'zehu Ma Sha'omar Mo Adir Shimcha B'chol Arts. How mighty is your name B'chol Arts. Even the Goyim, to a degree, acknowledge Hashem is, with all of their mishagasim, they acknowledge that there's a God above and beyond. And they call him in the Gemara Eloka, the God of the gods. Even the idolaters who have a whole pantheon of gods, they acknowledge deep down inside that on top of the pantheon, there's one God. And that is alluded to in this pasuk, Hashem Adonin Moadir Shimcha B'chol Aretz. Even the word adir, he's coming to explain over here is, it's the top of the top. We say every day, multiple times, Aleinu, and we call Hashem the Melech Malchei HaMelochim. It's a very complex expression. What does it mean that Hashem is the Melech, the King, the Malchei HaMelochim? Now, you can translate that many different ways. You can say it's the King who is the King of Kings. That's one translation. There are many kings, and then all of the kings have a king on top of them. The Malchei, the king, Hamalachim, is the Melech, who is the Malchei Hamalachim. And that would be consistent with what it says here in this Gemara, that Hashem is Eloka de Eloka, the God of gods.
Maybe the common expression also, the rabbi's rabbi, the doctor's doctor.
So, know. Right, okay, there's that, okay. Enochanami, absolutely, you find that today, right? Absolutely. But let's talk about Hashem for a moment. And here we have three different expressions. We have the Eloka de Eloka, the God of gods. We have here this expression, the Nusach HaTfilah, the Melech Malchei HaMelachim. And we have the Minchas Erev is telling us that it's rooted in this pasuk, Hashem Adoneinu Mo Adir Shimcha B'chol Aretz. So what he seems to be saying is the word adir, there are many different terms you can use. We have a very hard time translating that word. When we started this mizmah, we were fighting about this. What does the word adir mean? Does the word adir mean glorified? Does it mean mighty? Does it mean the dwelling? It mean a lashon of a dwelling? There are many, it's a very hard word to precisely translate. All the commentators have different translations. Some, I think Rav Kalmi may mention the Malbum. You mentioned the Targum. Eloka ribono kimo solil umishabach shemach b'chola. So I think it means you're exalted. It focuses on praise, exaltedness. Doesn't necessarily focus on might. Other Mefarshim says the word adir means mighty, powerful, an outstretched arm, powerful. He says over here something a little bit different. The Minchas Erev, he's saying this Tepshad, it means recognition. It doesn't just mean, it's really more like what it says in the Targum. Tolil means like a mountain, a mound, a tal, a mound. He is the top of the hierarchy. All right, that's a small point I wanted to make. Now, next point, look at the Radak just for one moment. The Radak Pasuk Aleph. Lamatzech, okay, that we did that, we spent a lot of time, we don't do that. I'm sorry, I'm just jumping around a little bit over here. Erev, the evening. Minchas Erev. Okay, let's look at the Sipurno. There's a short Sipurno on page 62, the Sipurno, Pasuk Gimel. Ki amnam mipi oilalim v'yonkim bepilei hateva hamesudar me'itcha hanirim be'oilalim be'esai heroyoin. Probably did this already, I don't remember, that you can see from the wonders of nature that are arranged from you in the oilalim, the fetuses at the time of pregnancy, uv'yonkim be'es hayenika yisadita oiz. Kivar hispar oiz malchuscha. It's already been established, the might of your malchus, l'chol hamin ho'enoishi, to mankind, kishe yisboimu boze, u'mashe bikashi shloisas tase pila oiz l'umois oilam, ela, this, that. Okay, the Sifurno, when we started this entire section, we learned the first Sifurno, and, okay, it doesn't really explain over here. All right, let's do that out. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't...
He's just saying that conception and birth is a wonder, the wonder of nature's system.
Okay, let's jump ahead to page 65. Page 65... In the Minchas Erev, Ki Ere Shomecha, Amru Zichronim Levracha, Shagadoyla Maase Tzadikim, Mimase Shomayim, Vorets. The Ilugab Shomayim Ksivit says, Af Yodi Yosto Eretz. Regarding the heavens, it says, and my hands have established this earth. Yodi is bloshen yochid, one hand. Over my sits adikim, because if it says Mikdash Hashem koinu yodecha. This is a famous chazal. It says with two hands. So the Beis Hamikdash koinu yodecha. The Beis Hamikdash is something that has been accomplished through man. Man has built the Beis Hamikdash. He has to be worthy on a spiritual level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to rest down his Shechina. Hey Shiv Babli Echad, there was a person that spoke up, Rabbi Yechiya Shemo, Vaksiv, it says in the Pasuk, V'yabeshes Yodav Yotsaru. It says regarding the dry land, it is later on in Tehillim, Yodav, his hands, Beloshon Rabin. So the Gemara says, and that's why we read it, and Vahaksiv Yotsaru created Beloshon Rabin. Omar, so two things there, it says Beloshon Rabin. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Yotzru Etzba Oisav Kidachsev, his fingers made them Kidachsev Ki Ere Shomecha Maase Etzba Yosecha V'zeu Shomar Ki Ere Shomecha Maase Etzba Yosecha V'loi Maase Yodecha Harei Bozeh Gdalta Maase B'nei Adam. Period. Now here's the point here Maase Mo Enosh Ki Kiskrenu V'chulu. And what do I mean over here? To summarize this in short, He's not the only one that focuses upon this, and we actually touched upon this when we were in the Pasuk of Dalit. David HaMelech says, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers. Why does it say the work of your fingers? Why doesn't it say the work of your hand? The work of your hands. So he says something very interesting over here. He says that even, first of all, we start with the Hakdama, the principle that anything that man creates to in some degree is more precious than what Hashem has made here on this world. And the proof is because Hashem only describes his creation with one hand, and the Beis HaMikdash, which is a creation of man. Man creates for Hashem an abode in this world by building a structure, by using all of the precious materials found in this world, and of course being elevating himself spiritually to be worthy for Hashem to rest his divine presence. This is described with two hands. Maaseh konenu yodecha. Now, even though you'll tell me that this pasuk is referring to Hashem, konenu, that you Hashem, your hands, b'loshen rabim, have established this makom, this mikdash, that's just a polite way of saying that we did it. Just like, you know, when you say b'loshen saginar, we don't want to take credit. This is always a very interesting insight in and of itself. We say this every single day in Oz Yashir. Mikdash Hashem. Mikidash. In the Dagesh, so it's Mikidash. Mikidash. Shvanah. It's a Shvanah. Thank you. Not a Shvanah. Mikidash Hashem. Mikidash. Mikidash. Hashem. Koinenu Yodecha. The Mikidosh, the Beis HaMikdosh, the Mokom of the Hashos Hashchina, Hashem Mikidosh, Kama, Hashem Koinenu Yodecha. Now that simply means,
we built the building.
This is like Loshen Saginar. It's Loshen Saginar.
He took from his Kedusha, he gave to this place.
Okay, from his Kedusha, right?
The Kedusha.
But how is the Gemara here using? The Gemara here is using the Etzem as a lashon, as a euphemism, meaning who built the Beis HaMikdash? Let's be real here now. let's talk, talk shop here. Who built the Beis HaMikdash? We built it. Not Hashem. We built it. Our bare hands. We had a lot of workers. Now that we built the Beis HaMikdash, in order for the Beis HaMikdash to be operational, and the Shekhinah should come down from Shemayim, and Eish from Shemayim, we did a lot of hard work. We fasted. We observed the Torah mitzvahs. We gave up on all the non kosher and all the contamination in this world. We had to do
money.
What? Money. Kesef yanes hakol. Okay. So who? Let's be real here. Who built the Beis HaMikdash? We did it. So it should say Mikdash. Konenu yodenu. Konanu Yodenu. Konanu, how do you say it in Hebrew? Koinanu? Konanu? Not Konanu. Koinanu, something like that. I don't know Hebrew. We built it. Our Yodenu. Not Hashem's hands. So what does it say in the pasuk? We say this every single day. Koinanu Yodecha. You didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem.
It didn't say build.
Established.
Says, okay, oh, this is
good enough. Established. It was established by you, Hashem? No. Hashem, you made the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth. You made a lot of nice things. But the Beis HaMikdash, Yodenu, we did it. Teretz is their hearts. Their hearts. Would the Rebbe like a cup of coffee? You don't say, would you like a cup of coffee? There's a mimos, you speak in a certain method. So we, out of derech eretz v'Hashem, we say, yodecha, even though, really, we did it ourselves. I mean, obviously, you all understand what I'm saying. We had a major part in building the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem put us in the world to do it. We did it. So what is this? Okay, fine, let's put that aside. But one thing that we do take, it says over here the words, really it's referring to us And it says our hands b'shtei with two hands. Yodeinu, two hands. When Hashem made this world, the Minchas Erev says, he says, af yodi yosido eretz. When Hashem made earth with one hand. One hand. When we built the Beis HaMikdash, we did it with two hands. That means, you see, when man gets involved in something, man does a better job. He uses two hands. And Hashem, when he made this world, he only used one hand. Along comes a Talmud Chacham by the name of Rav Huna, and he says, Heshev Babli Echad, I'm sorry, Rechia. What are you talking about? It says in the Pasuk, V'yabeshes. Yabeshes is another word for the earth. Yodov, Yotzaru. And don't give me an answer. Oh, look, it's a krivich siv. When it says in the word, it says Yodov. There's no Yod in the Pasuk. It doesn't say in the Pasuk Yud Dalid, Yudvav. It says only one. It says Yud Dalid Vav, which means you can really read Yodov, Yodov. Don't give me that answer. We read it, Yodov. How do I know that? Because the next word is irrefutable. Yotzaru, B'loshon Rabin. They. So don't go give me any answer that, oh, only it says one Yod, even though it says only one Yod, and you could read it Yodo. We read it Yodu, Yodov, B'loshon Rabin. And it says the word Yotzaru, B'loshon Rabin. Ooh, now you got a big kasha. Now you got a stira. A real stira. And the answer to the stira, a whole lamash, a whole gemara here, this minchas erev. You have a stira. The only answer to the stira is the pasuk of Mizmor Ches. Mizmor Ches, it says, ki ere shomecha ma'asei etz ve'oisecha. It says, that even though this pasuk is referring to Shemayim, it's not referring to the Aretz, that's a good kasha, I don't know, but it's the same principle. You know what the answer is? The answer is, Enoch Nami Hashem, you may have indeed made this world with two hands. You can't deny that. But it's only like one hand. You know why it's only like one hand? Because each finger acted on its own. It was 10 fingers, not two hands. There's a fundamental difference between 10 fingers and two hands. What's the difference? The sum is greater than the parts. The coordination that one can do by using all of the fingers together creates a degree of sophistication that's not possible of using one finger at a time. If you have to do something and you're only allowed to use one finger at a time, you'll get nothing done. Chazal tells us the purpose of each finger. One finger is to put into your ears, not to listen to Lashon Hara. One finger is to do the, I don't remember the whole gemara. Every single finger has a function, has a purpose, has a function. But if you want to construct, you want to build something, and I give you a rule. Whatever you do with your hands, only use one finger at a time. No coordination. And certainly don't you dare take all two hands together. Don't go to know the difference between using one and two hands. If the person only has one hand, you're certainly very limited. Even in the one hand, do whatever you want to go do. You want to go move this, so take your pinky to move it around. You want to go do this, some of the pinky's not enough. You need to do whatever you want to do. Only one finger at a time. So in the big picture of things, when Hashem created this world, he used two hands. Because he used every single digit on both hands to create this world.
You did that thing in my mouth. So what's all this?
You just hit on an amazing story that even Shuly Bornstein didn't say. I'm making a joke with you. So today I'll tell you a joke. It's a joke. Going on a joke. Baruch Hashem, I learn with 2-3 people at night, daf yomi. And sometimes another guy comes, whatever, a little daf yomi. And today there are only 2 Magidim Shia daf yomi in the whole world. Took over the whole world. Shuly Bornstein and Eli Stefanski. That's it. They control, they dominate the world. So my guys, they go to work and they listen in the car to Shuly Bornstein and Eli Stefanski. So I say one line of Gemara, you know what Shuly said? I read the next line of Gemara, you know what Eli said? This is the way it goes. Not by me, the whole world now. So I want to tell you something now that even Srili didn't say. Okay, now, you just said something very interesting. Ba'asara ma'amboro it's nivra ha'olam. How many fingers are there? 10 fingers. How many hands are there? There are two hands. There are two hands. The Gemara is, this Minchas Erev is explaining to us that, really it's calling the Gemara, it's explaining to us is that Hashem did not create this world with two hands. He created this world with 10 fingers. And it's not a coincidence that the 10 fingers of Derech Drush correspond to the 10 Ma'amoras. And what about man? When a man created the Beis HaMikdash, no 10 fingers. Man created the Beis HaMikdash with two hands. Gedoyel Masei Adam Mimasei Elohim. Man's koyach that Hashem allowed man to act, of course, everything comes from Hashem, is the coordination, the sophistication of taking five digits and working them together. Not only that, taking another five digits and coordinating them together, and then taking the two together to create something over the top of sophistication of having two hands with 10 digits, create something which captures an idea of incredible sophistication. When Hashem made this world, he didn't do that. Hashem made this world with 10 fingers, one finger at a time. No coordination of even one hand with another hand. Let's read now the Minchas Erev and see how all of this, what I just said to you, is all over here in the Minchas Erev. All this upon what it says in this pasuk, Ma'asei, the work of Etz Be'oisecha, Ba'asora Ma'amoras Nivra Ha'olam, each minor used a different digit. No coordination and no using two hands together at the same time. Look at the words of the Minchas Erev. Ki El Shmecha, Amuzal, Shegidoyla, this is the cornerstone of this Chazal, Shegidoyla, Masei tzadikim imaisei shamayim v'aretz. Why? The ilu gabei shamayim gesiv, it says, by the shamayim it says, af yodi, by the shamayim. One hand. Yodi. One hand. Yosto eretz. Uve masei tzadikim gesiv, it says, mikidosh, okay, kama, with regard to the mikidosh, Hashem, you Hashem, koinenu yodecha. Read it backwards, those last two words. Your hands, plural, have established them. What's the pshat in the pasuk? This pasuk is beloshon sagi nohar. It's a euphemism. I don't know the right word, euphemism, not the right expression here in this kind, but it means, it doesn't mean, don't take it literally. Hashem didn't do nothing. We did it. Stand down. But it's not respectful. It's not respectful to say to Hashem that we did it. Really, you did it. Yeah. Who gave you the koyach to do this? Who gave you the money? Who gave you the health? Who gave you the power? So we're respectful. Hashem, you did it. But the pasuk really is to be translated literally, I mean, really means with regard to the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem, you gave us the power that we, with two hands, built the Beis HaMikdash. So Ibn Hashem, who's better? Us or you? You lose. Hashem, you lose. You created the world with one hand. We built a Beis HaMikdash with two hands. Oh, so it's a riot. Gidoyla Masei Tzadikim. Hey, Shabbat Liyachat. Along comes a Babylonian person, Rabbi Chiya Shemo. Really? You're so satisfied with this drasha, there's a stira. It says in the pasuk, the Yoksim says it's supposed to regard to the Abeshes, the dry land, the earth, Yodav Yotzaru, and over here he writes over here, it says in the pasuk Yud Dalet Vav, there is no Yud in the word Yodav, which can be read Yodo. You easily answer the contradiction, but it's not an answer to the contradiction because Ksiv, V'yoksiv, it says Yotzaru B'loshon Rabim. So therefore the word Yotzaru really says it all. So how do we answer the contradiction? How do we answer this? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So he says, that's right, when you talk about a hand, this is the reason why it's choser, there's missing a yud. We're not talking about a hand in its shlemus. That's why the word yodov is deficient. Because if Yadav would have been mole, it means coordination. Coordination. When it says the word Yadav, it's deficient. Because all it means when it says hands is one finger at a time. How do you know it means one finger at a time? Because of the pasuk that we learned over here in Mizmor, is Mizmorches. Yotzaru etz be'oisav. Kidersiv ki eresh shomech ma'asei etz be'osecha. One finger at a time. V'zeo sh'amar ki eresh shomecha. Look at the proof to this. It says in the pasuk. Ma'asei etz be'osecha. V'loi ma'asei yodecha. Harei b'zeh higdalta ma'asei b'nei adam. Beautiful. By the way, it's not true anymore now, but when I was a little kid, they showed, I was really amazed by this, they showed, you know, a human being takes for granted, you go like this, take a ball, okay, you take a ball, take even a spoon over here, and I'm able to take the spoon and just spin it like this, okay, Baruch Hashem, we all think we can do this. So when the computers first came into existence in the 80s, they showed the amount of programming, a computer, to do this, take a robot, robotics. You have a robot with five digits, and to program the computer to do this, it was like, you know, you need a team of the top MIT experts, a team of 1,000 of them to sit and write code that fill up this whole room, and pay them $1 billion to write the code for a robot to take a ball. The turnable.
They still have trouble with robots walking smoothly like a human being.
Now it's gotten so advanced, it is unbelievable. Some of these little clips I get, they just fly. I don't even know how they get there into my phone. They just fly into WhatsApp. Robotics today, it is just unreal what I've seen. It's scary. It's literally scary. I saw that. I couldn't believe this. They have robots that look like human beings. Mamish, they do walking around the streets. And they want to make these robots like into basically policemen. Who knows what else they're going to make them into?
RoboCops.
Yeah, RoboCops. Mamish, RoboCops. They have them already. It is scary beyond. They say that in China, they're light years ahead of America in these matters. And America is bushel chlima. The technology they have in China puts the United States to shame. Some of this technology with robotics. But years ago they would say I remember watching they showed this to us in Yeshiva, I think it was. They showed the space shuttle. Remember those days, the space shuttle? It goes up, and then as it goes up, it turns ever so slight. It turns just a teeny amount. And then it goes like this. A little bit backwards to get into orbit. So they showed in this documentary the amount of code. The amount of work, how many people worked, and how many programmers and people, how much code was written to program the space shuttle to turn just like that. A little slight turn and to bend just ever so slightly to go into orbit. It's amazing. And this, all of these type of things we take for granted. It's all natural, built into the human being. The coordination between the different fingers. And that's a marshal, just a marshal for us in our spiritual quest to build for Hashem a makom in this world for Him to rest His divine presence, which we apply ourselves, and the Gemara, and I'm making this up, the Gemara says, Shegidoyle masei tzadiki mi masei shemayim ba'aretz. When Hashem made this world, one finger at a time. When we create a makom for Hashem to rest His divine presence, it's a mashal. It's sophistication. It's done with enormous effort of sophistication and ruchnius, putting the whole thing together. Adam l'chaver, Adam l'makom, how we deal with ourselves and Torah mitzvos, and each finger is coordinated with the other four fingers, and each hand coordinates with the other hand. It's an incredible leeway. So beautiful, there's a lot more stuff here, but Rabbi Yisrael, tomorrow in Yiratz Hashem, we're going on. There's a lot more Baruch Shem. I marked on a lot of things here, but I really want to move ahead. So tomorrow we're going to go to Mizmor Tes.
Today is the Yiratz
Hashem
day. Also,
actually, I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, Super Jew.
Who?
Super Jew. His name is Larry Lawrence Freeman. Came from a Frum family. He was a Green Beret. He was instructed.